T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Oh, I've got good news and I got bad news. It depends on perspective. The good news is for all the Yankee fans out there that beloved and love Alex Rodriguez, the A-Rod Day banner and his beautiful number 13 is hanging from the rafters of the WFAN Mike Francesa Studios. It is there. It's big. It's huge. It's actually way too big the more I look at it, but it's there. So I did steal it. It was cleaned. It's been returned. The A-Rod banner will now hang permanently in the WFAN studios. It did replace the Pete Alonso jersey, but I've got good news on that. I now possess the Pete Alonso jersey, and it will be displayed privately in my own office so that I can stare at it every single day and look at my guy's jersey and look at that beard that will eventually be gone.
Sean, thanks for not holding it hostage for too long.
Look, this is all
You're
well.
You're a good guy, man.
I am a good guy. And by the way, Tiki's beautiful picture of himself playing is now perfectly behind him.
That's right.
So everybody's getting taken care of here. The only thing that's still up is Craig Carton signing the wall. We can't bury that too much. But I got to tell you, Tiki, when you turn your head there, how much prettier does it look seeing that Yankee colors hang in the A-Rod, you know, instead of the blue and orange?
Right. The only blue I want to see is giant blue.
Exactly.
When I looked over there and saw that Met blue, it just made me a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, what? No, it's true. The studio's like, it's classier now.
Well, yes.
It doesn't have that losers lose feel.
The one thing I can't get over is how just enormous the 13 is.
It is big.
I mean, it is massive. I'll take a picture and post it on social media later, but it's just, it's...
It didn't feel that big when it was behind
me. No.
I don't know why.
Now every time I look to my left, it's like all I could see is this gigantic number 13. All right, one thing I want to address because it hasn't gotten a lot of attention, but I do find it interesting, and it's been kind of circulating out in San Francisco, California right now, and that's the fact that the Niners are looking for a defensive coordinator. And as you remember, Kyle Shanahan decided to fire Steve Wilks.
Yep.
They haven't hired his replacement. So if you're asking, okay, Evan, why do we care? One of the names that's been linked now is Jeff Ulbrich, who is currently the defensive coordinator of the New York Jets. I think we'd all admit has done a really good job.
Yeah, that would be an interesting parallel move.
Yes.
And maybe it has something to do with his family. I don't know if his family came when they moved, because he was with Salah out there.
He has a history in San Francisco. He used to work there, yeah.
Right, but he was with Salah because when Salah came, that's who he brought. That would be a parallel move that, maybe it puts you in position to better get a head coaching gig.
If you're Jeff Ulbrich?
With the 49ers as opposed to the uncertainty of with the, you know what I mean?
I understand if he takes the job. I'm not mad at Jeff Ulbrich because he's from California.
Mm-hmm.
If he's looking to be a head coach, he certainly has more security in San Francisco, even though they just fired a defensive coordinator after 5 minutes.
But he wasn't one of theirs.
But you know I also, what I mean? no doubt. And I also look at it this way with guys that want a different, if he wants to leave, let him leave. Like, I'm not one to hold a guy hostage. So my issue isn't with Jeff Ulbrich considering taking the job. If he takes the job, fine, good for him. My issue, and really it's my question, because here I'll defer to you, Tiki. I don't know. I don't know if I should be concerned. The New York Jets defense has been very good the last couple of years. I know some want to say it's overrated. You want to throw it at. Bottom line is it's their strength.
No, it's been really good.
And I give Jeff Ulbrich credit. He is the defensive coordinator, but Robert Saleh is the head coach, and we also look at him as the defensive-minded head coach. If Jeff Ulbrich ultimately gets this job that he's been linked to and the Jets allow him to go to San Francisco, fine. Should I be deeply concerned? that the Jets just lost their defensive coordinator? Because I just watched the Eagles lose two coordinators and basically ruin their season.
Actually, I don't think so. Because I think that Ulbrich, while, you know, basically in line with what Robert Saleh wants to do, Robert Saleh is also a defensive coordinator. Let's not forget, that's where he made his wares.
Right.
It wasn't by, you know, just being a good personality. It was because he was the 49ers' defense was fantastic, and he was a big reason for them. Remember, we still remember him on the sideline, like running down, you know, the sideline, getting all jacked up whenever they made big plays.
Feels like that's why he got a head coaching job.
No, seriously. Like, it was this energy that he had, and his players related to him. And so, you would hate to lose Brick because he's been so good over the last couple of years, despite people not recognizing that early on in his tenure with the Jets. But it's almost like there's a catch. Like, there's like a safety net that's there because Robert Saleh obviously would have to take a greater role. But that's, you know, that's what got him the head coaching job.
Right.
I mean, this is, you know, down in Tampa, Todd Bowles. He's still calling plays defensively. He's been the head coach down there for, 3 years now? He's still the defensive coordinator, and one of the reasons that they're able to adjust despite all the issues that they had health-wise and others and made it to the playoffs a year ago. So it's doable, and especially now 4 years in, if I'm Robert Saleh and I lose Jeff Ulbrich, I'm saying if I'm going to get fired, I'm going to get fired doing it my way.
Yeah, but the problem is if he gets fired, it's probably not going to be because of the defense. He's going to get fired because the offense continues to be broken. And that's the point I made the other day about him. One of my biggest concerns, in fact, my biggest concern about Robert Saleh is strictly that. Is he just a really good defensive coordinator? Because when you're the head coach, you got to worry about every aspect of your team.
Yeah.
Their defense has been fixed. 3 years ago, they had one of the worst defenses in the NFL. They were almost dead last. And then they took a major jump. And even last year. I know they had their bad moments at the end of the year, but I thought overall, I mean, that was an elite-level defense. It may not have been the 85 Bears, but they were damn good.
Yeah.
And they were certainly good enough to be a playoff team. They were certainly good enough to be a dangerous team. They didn't win because they couldn't score points. They didn't win because their offense was broken.
Yes.
Let's go to Leonard in Rockland County, New York. Hey, Leonard.
Yeah, how you guys doing?
What's up, man?
What's up?
Yeah, so when it comes to, let's say, for the Jets' future with Justin Jefferson, I don't think that this is the right way to go. I think that focusing mainly and purely on the O-line is the only way to do it. If you're a GM and you're building a team and all you got is you know, just what everybody else says with the coach, and you know, and what do you guys think is the smartest way to build a football team? I personally think if you just only, this might sound crazy, if you just only draft O-line for like literally 5 years straight, and you put like, you know, and you have the best O-line of all time, I do not think anything else makes a difference. Honestly, you could have Brock Purdy there, or any other mediocre quarterback. you could draft the quarterback in the seventh round.
Yeah,
you could get any running back would be, you know, for sure the best in NFL, and your offense.
Leonard, by and large, I agree with you. Like, that's my philosophy. Mm-hmm. Build it from the ass first, man.
Yeah.
Build the offensive line. Get in the trenches and make that as viable and reliable and deep as you can. So if you do get some injuries, that you're not, you know, oh, God, we got to start this kid who has no business playing in the NFL, right? So obviously do that first. But I think the Jets in particular are in a different spot because there is such an urgency for this team to win.
We don't have time.
Exactly. You don't have time to be like, all right, we're going to get this guy, and then we'll pair him with this guy, and then this coach will teach them this, and then they'll start doing it. Like, there's an urgency. It's like, let's go now.
That's why every pick they use in this draft, every move they make has to be about trying to win in 2024. You've got to maximize this opportunity, and that's why...
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter,
Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're an hour and 8 minutes into the show. I haven't mentioned a quarterback because the only quarterback they should worry about besides keeping Aaron Rodgers healthy is a healthy veteran backup.
Yeah,
I don't want to hear about the future quarterback. You know when we'll worry about the future quarterback? When we have to worry about the future quarterback.
Exactly.
Because the world is a different place when you have to worry about the future quarterback. It's so true. You don't know who's available. You know, I mentioned a few months ago the Tampa model. The Tampa model of go get Tom Brady. Tom Brady, you maximize his window for 3 years. You pick up a veteran like Baker Mayfield. Yep. Boom, you made the playoffs. And it sounds simple, but it's true. I don't want to worry about the quarterback. I was talking to a guy the other day. Hey, do you think we should use a third or fourth round pick on a quarterback? I'm like, not really. No, I mean, I'm not interested in that. Like, I get it. Hey, you could develop someone. Sure, in theory.
But develop is not... First of all, it's not what Nate does, Hackett. It's not what he's there to do.
What is he there to do?
He's there to be the shepherd with Aaron Rodgers.
That's right.
And develop,
make Aaron happy.
Right. And make Aaron, help Aaron thrive.
Yes.
Right. That's all that matters right now. And so, yeah, I hear you with the development stuff, but Aaron Rodgers doesn't, I mean, he did it with Zach, I guess.
No, I don't want him to develop. I want there to be just a veteran backup, and we'll worry about a quarterback when we have to worry about a quarterback.
I think he did it more as a, I don't know, it felt more like a talking point than an actual, you know what I mean?
No, I guess. Do you know the Jets met with Jaden Daniels?
Did they?
Yeah, huh. They met with him. Huh.
Really?
Yeah. What the hell does that mean?
That means exactly what Joe Shane meeting with Jaden Daniels means.
No, that's my point. Like, it doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't mean anything.
Like, maybe I'm crazy for saying this. You could tell me, Evan, that doesn't even make any sense. Maybe you meet with Jaden Daniels because Jaden Daniels gets drafted by the Patriots. Mm. And now you're competing with him twice a year. And it doesn't hurt to have picked up some information about a guy you've got to compete with.
Right.
Does that sound crazy?
No, not at all.
Maybe if you're the Giants, you meet with Jaden Daniels because the Commanders may draft him. And you never know what you picked up. Maybe it helps you when you face the Commanders.
I also think that the quarterbacks in particular, any quarterback, any year, they're going to get met with because, like, they're the most sought after position in all of football.
Right. And the off chance he falls like a stone in the draft and you're the
exactly
Jets,
right.
You could luck out into your future.
If something could happen where he's not, hell, let's say he gets hurt. Right? Kid gets hurt. Who did that happen to?
Hendon Hooker.
Exactly. He gets hurt, but this happened Hendon Hooker got hurt in the season. But let's just say something happens and he just starts to fall. And you're sitting there second around, you're like, do we like this kid? And you've never talked to him?
Right.
I don't know. You're standing out there looking like dummies at each other.
Yeah.
But you talk to him and get enough information that if the opportunity comes up, unlikely as it may be, you're not hesitating to pull the trigger
on him.
You're doing
your due diligence.
I get it. And quarterbacks get that all the time, every year.
Rob is in Smithtown. How you doing today, Rob?
Hey, how you doing, guys? Thanks for taking the call. I just had a quick question about the Jets. Last night's show, I'm pretty sure Keith said something about how Aaron Rodgers could have possibly had a hand in the fact that we didn't sign anybody better than Trevor Siemian. What do you guys think about that?
I don't believe that. I've heard that before, and I'll
answer it specifically, but keep going.
The question I'd have to Keith or anyone else who wonders that is why? Mm-hmm. Why would Aaron Rodgers care who the quarterback that he's going to eventually replace is? You know what I mean? Like, whatever veteran they were able to add was only going to try to keep them in a race so that Aaron Rodgers could eventually come back. There was never going to be a quarterback controversy. I rejected that about Zach Wilson immediately. Right. I remember Tiki asked me, he's like, hey, Evan, what if Zach plays really well and they're in the playoffs? You want Aaron back? And I'm like, what? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want Aaron back. It would take a lot for me to say I don't want Aaron back.
Right.
So I know that Aaron Rodgers is a conspiracy guy, which leads to us having conspiracies about him.
Yep.
I just don't understand that one.
Yeah.
And I've heard it before, And my answer is, I don't get why Aaron Rodgers would not want a good quarterback while he's out.
I'll tell you, Evan, and Rob, or whoever wants to listen to this, why this happened the way that it did.
Go ahead.
Do you guys remember Aaron Rodgers' contract when he came from the Green Bay Packers? It was enormous.
Yeah.
And it was punitive. Do you remember? Do you know when training camp starts? End of July?
Right.
Do you know when Aaron Rodgers signed a restructured contract?
It was like in July.
July 26th.
Yeah.
And so before that restructure, the Jets had no room to do anything. They couldn't do a thing until Aaron Rodgers restructured his contract. So the reason that the Jets couldn't go get other veteran higher quality, let's use that word better instead of price, but higher quality backup quarterbacks is because the Aaron Rodgers traded contract was crushing their cap.
Mm.
And until they restructured, they couldn't do a thing.
Okay, but
so by the time they could do something, you're in training camp already.
There are two layers to the backup quarterback thing. There's pre-Aaron Rodgers and there's post-Aaron Rodgers.
But they couldn't do anything pre-Aaron Rodgers because they had to save space for Aaron Rodgers.
But hold on a second. Here's where I would disagree with you. First of all, they could have traded Zach Wilson immediately.
Yeah.
They could have. His value was not at the bottom.
I agree, but okay. Are you really trading?
Yes.
The number two overall pick?
Yes.
After his second year?
Yes. Yes, yes. And I'll tell you why. Because the owner, and I agreed with him, came out immediately after the season and says, we need to add a veteran quarterback.
Yes. We know what happened in 2024 after when Woody Johnson said that. But after 2023, if Joe Douglas does that, he's basically saying, oh, yeah, I effed up.
He already did by trading for Aaron Rodgers. And by the way, what I'm saying about Woody was last year, Woody said after the season, we need a veteran quarterback to replace Zach Wilson. So Zach Wilson was dead around here. He was dead. So where I would disagree with you is they should have immediately traded him.
I don't think there was any value at that point.
There's value now?
By the way, the Niners did it with Trey Lance, same draft pick later.
Yeah, of course.
But Trey was not nearly as tainted.
But Tiki.
Not even close.
Tiki, are the Jets going to trade Zach Wilson this offseason?
They're going to attempt to trade Zach Wilson this offseason. You know what I'm going to predict is going to happen?
What?
They're not going to find a trade partner, and they're just going to cut him.
Okay. If that's the case, do you think that would have been the case last year, by the way?
No, you can't.
No,
it's the second year.
No.
It's too much sitting on the cap.
I'm just arguing they could have traded him to somebody.
Last year.
Maybe. And then if they did that, they could have signed Gardner Minshew for nothing. Mm-hmm. So the idea of what you're bringing up is fair once they made the decision to keep Zach Wilson. If they had made the decision I certainly wanted back in February, which is get rid of Zach immediately, sign this veteran placeholder, and then go make the move for Aaron Rodgers, then it would have worked. Now, once Aaron gets hurt, it's a different story. Your choices of backups are not very good. But my point to any conspiracy theorist about Rodgers having an impact on this would be why?
Yeah.
Why would Aaron Rodgers care who his backup is? He's not threatened by it.
Evan, he didn't.
Okay.
And I'm disproving that point because the only reason the Jets didn't do anything is, one, they were stuck. They felt stuck. I'm not saying they were. They felt stuck with Zach Wilson. If Joe Douglas jettisons his second overall pick quarterback after 2 years, you're just basically saying fire me. And so they felt stuck with Zach Wilson. And then once they signed Aaron Rodgers, they couldn't do a thing until he restructured. And he didn't restructure until July 26th. And that's right at training camp. Everybody's gone. Gardner's gone.
Right.
Jacoby Brissett, whoever. They're all gone. So there's no way they could do anything until Aaron got restructured.
Aaron Rodgers is going to be the quarterback this season, and the Jets need to add a backup. Now, we haven't talked about that today. It's mostly the issues of wide receiver and offensive line, but we all know they need to add a backup quarterback.
Yep.
I doubt they care who Aaron Rodgers prefers as his backup.
I think you're right.
Because I'm starting to think this Aaron Rodgers is the GM thing is slightly overrated. I'm starting to think that. Because Joe Douglas, even yesterday when he met the media in the monotone voice that he has, was asked about his contact with Aaron Rodgers. And he's like, yeah, we texted a couple of times this offseason, which almost sounds like they're barely talking.
Yeah.
That's how I took it. I don't think sometimes you want to admit you're barely talking to your star player. So you're like, I do it once in a while.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a quarterback that is dictating the entire offseason.
No.
But we want to believe that for some reason. And I guess we do based on the players they added last year. Well, they added Alan Lazard. Well, they added Billy Turner. Well, they added Randall Cobb. Now, maybe that was Joe Douglas wanting to do that to make Aaron Rodgers happy. Maybe it wasn't because Aaron Rodgers said, you better sign these guys. I don't know. But I get this sense that because Rodgers is a conspiracy guy, we almost paint, well, then everything around him also must be a conspiracy. Is that crazy?
No.
Can I buy that logic?
Yeah, I do.
Thank you. Let's go to Joe on Long Island. How you doing, Joe?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, dude? Show. Appreciate it.
Evan, I think you should cut the beard. If you get a new passport picture and new driver's license photo.
So wait. So I have to have the new license and the new passport with the beard, and then I can cut the beard? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Do something crazy with the beard, and then you can cut the beard after that.
Oh, so dye the beard. Dye the beard green.
Right.
Then go get a passport photo.
Oh, God. Imagine I'd have to live with that for the rest of my life.
No, they would be thinking you're like some trying to sneak in. I don't know.
That'd be going to be.
Right.
It's funny. I'm going
You get pulled out of the line every single time.
Well, am I going to have an issue flying tonight? Because I'm actually going on a plane tonight. Obviously, you got your pre-check and all that. And they're going to ask for my license. They always ask for my license. I don't look anything like the guy in my license.
You have clear?
I have a TSA pre-check.
But not clear.
TSA pre-check's the best, bro.
Newark, it actually is sometimes better.
I'm not flying on Newark tonight, by the way.
The clear line is crazy.
Imagine they take away his pre-check with the beard.
Hold on. I'm going to show Tiki right now my license, okay?
Let me see it.
Tell me if I'm recognizable, because I look like a different human being. I don't think any security. Well, how do I look in that?
It kind of looks like you, but not really.
Kind of. What can they do, though? Can they actually say, I don't believe that's you? What can they possibly do at airport security tonight?
Well, they'll look. What they do is they look at your eyes and your nose.
Height and weight, too.
Well, height and weight, but it's like your eye.
That's different, too, Luke.
Dude, think about your phones.
Yeah.
Like, if you have a phone that unlocks with face recognition, like, you can have a mask on, or, like, you can have something over your mouth or something over your head. And it'll still recognize.
I'll tell you something about face recognition on your phone. I will never do it. I find it to be stupid. Why? I find it to be a waste of time.
Why?
Because I want to stare into my phone so that it opens.
No. It just opens quickly.
What you have going for you also, Evan, you're a public figure. There was a time a few years back when Doug Gottlieb worked here where he completely forgot his wallet ahead of a flight at JFK.
Mm.
I had to try to race his wallet to JFK for him. He was on the way home. But I did not get there in time, and he was able to walk and talk his way through security by Googling himself.
Oh, my God.
True story.
Oh, my God.
And I had to live the weekend with Doug Gottlieb's wallet in my pocket until he returned until Monday.
Wow. I don't know if I got to give Doug a lot of credit for that.
Right.
Or I would never
or
do that.
Or be terrified of TSA.
Well, what I thought, too, is it's one thing that he got there. He had to board a flight back and was able to do it a second time.
Wow. He was able to talk his way onto a plane by saying, Google me.
He Googled himself, showed exactly who he was multiple times. I'm Doug Gottlieb. Here's my picture. And he went through 10 Googles, he told me. And he did it both ways. He was able to get back.
And he got on the plane.
That's why clear is good, because you don't need your ID.
You don't need your ID.
You just need...
Really?
Yeah.
When you go to the airport...
It's biometric. It's with your eyes.
Oh, wow.
So...
That's crazy. I didn't
Sometimes they'll ask for a random check, but...
A random check?
Right. So you just get randomly selected.
Oh, I thought you meant like a check. Like, you got to give money or something.
No. Security check.
I've seen clear at a lot of these arenas. Like, I know Barclays Center has clear. I think Yankee Stadium has clear. But because I have TSA PreCheck with flying, it is awesome. Like, TSA PreCheck is like the greatest thing ever.
Right.
It's one of the great inventions of all time.
Clear makes it better.
How could it possibly be better?
Like, if you're in the Bahamas, you have clear. The TSA PreCheck line is long. But
really?
Clear, it's just, you're right through.
How do you sign up for clear?
Just sign it up.
I can sign up for clear. So I can go to the airport tonight with both.
You can sign up at the airport.
You can sign up at the airport tonight.
Oh, wow.
You can go to the kiosk before, sign up, and then you can go into the clear line.
How about that?
But the clear line, where are you going? JFK?
I'm going to LaGuardia.
Oh.
What's wrong with that? What's wrong with LGA?
It stinks. The clear line there is bad.
He's such an expert on flying. He knows how to break down the clear line. I was going to tell you LaGuardia, since they redid it.
It's gorgeous.
It is like a different world.
It is, but the clear line stinks.
Okay. I don't know. I just love LaGuardia now. Because
our debate on stadiums yesterday. I know debate in the airport.
Oh, dude, if I had to power, I don't even know if I can power rank the airports now, because they're all so beautiful.
Right.
Like, Newark's awesome, too.
I
was at Newark recently, they had waterfalls. I'm like, what the hell? Where am I?
Terminal A?
I don't remember the terminal.
Well, I mean,
I don't fly enough to, like, really be able to break it down that way. You fly every week.
I do. A, I like, but it feels out of the way. It's a pain in the butt.
Which one?
A, Terminal A at Newark.
Oh, I have no idea.
Yeah. But I can take my car there, my electric car, charge it while I'm away, and come back and it's fully charged.
Can every airport do that?
Not every airport can. Wow. The Terminal A at Newark Airport.
I think Kennedy is the one I dislike the most now.
Well, it's too far.
Far away from me where I'm coming from, and I haven't been there in a while. Maybe they've upgraded it, but it feels like LaGuardia and Newark have upgraded themselves. Mm-hmm. They've kind of brought themselves into the 21st century.
Right.
I don't know if Kennedy actually has. I got to double check. I've been to Kennedy in a while.
They were the first to upgrade out of the three of them.
Yeah, but that's a long time ago, so it's no longer updated.
I personally find JFK beautiful, especially the JetBlue terminal, but that's just me. It's also, I'm there in a half an hour.
Which is the one with the WFAN store?
That used to be JFK, closed down.
The WFAN store closed down?
That's what I was told. People tweeted me the picture of it a couple months ago. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I once went into the WFAN store.
You know.
And we had nothing there. It was just literally an excuse to sell Yankee hats.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. It was all team stuff more than our stuff.
So the airport named after a president is your least favorite? And you judge it based on amenities? When you judge it based on, like, security line, that's all we care about is getting into the airport and getting through security line. I don't care if it's dumpy looking.
I think if I flew enough the way Tiki did, I probably would judge it like that.
Yeah.
But I fly so, I was thinking about it. I have flown twice in the last year.
Yeah.
I don't fly a lot.
So
you flew 22 times this year.
I did. ATL is the worst. Probably more than that, actually. ATL is the worst.
ATL is what, Atlanta?
Atlanta.
It's too massive.
Well, it's massive, but the line is terrible. Even with Clear, with Precheck, they have it's impossible, and it's packed at 6 a.m.
Orlando's a nightmare too. Bunch of families and kids.
I liked Orlando when I was there. That was
annoying.
One of the recent airports I was at.
As says the man without kids.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, yeah, exactly.
White Plains, very underrated, by the way.
White Plains is great.
I love White. It's dumpy and it's small as hell. Yeah. But from a convenience standpoint, if you live in that suburban area. Like I do? Oh, you can't beat it.
That's MacArthur on the island, too. Same thing.
Great airport.
Who cares?
Yeah. Dude, it's all about location. We'll get back to your calls in a second. 877-337-6666. Yes, a little baseball coming up at 4 o'clock, including a nightmare scenario for Met fans and Yankee fans that Tiki Barber will love, just because I know Tiki loves chaos. And so he'll love it. We'll get to that coming up at 4 o'clock. We've talked about Justin Jefferson potentially being available. There was a story in Minneapolis about a couple days ago from Charlie Walters, who covers the Vikings, and he said there's, quote, steam towards Justin Jefferson being available. The GM of the Vikings, how do you correctly pronounce the GM's last name again?
Kwesi Adofo-Mensah.
Thank you very much. He denied it. He said, not true. Now, do we trust what general managers say this time of year? Not really. So is there steam towards Justin Jefferson being available? I think where there's steam, there's smoke.
And Justin Jefferson.
And where there's smoke, there's fire. But if the Jets were aggressors in trading for Justin Jefferson, and let's dare say they pulled something like that off, Tiki thinks they should.
They definitely should.
Would that create an issue with Garrett Wilson?
I don't think so. I think, so we've seen this in certain, in other places, but it was a little bit different. Like when A.J. Brown got traded to the Eagles. And Devontae Smith was there. But Devontae Smith was... He was really young. He was only his first year.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't like, I've established myself as the man. You're coming in to take my spot as the man. And over the last couple of years, they've worked kind of really well together. I think Chris Godwin and Mike Evans down in Tampa are the same way, because we always talk about Mike Evans being the man down there, and he is. He's had 11,000-yard seasons in a row, which is a record to start a player's career. But Chris Godwin is actually the higher targeted wide receiver. So he's more the guy, especially with Baker Mayfield. So it can work. It has to be managed by, one, the coach, but I think even more importantly, the quarterback. And if there's a guy who can manage that, it's definitely Aaron Rodgers, because he's bigger than both of them.
Right, right.
Right.
I think both guys would know that. Both
combined
guys are young. I mean, which is adds to this, because when Justin Jefferson was like in middle school, Aaron Rodgers was winning MVPs.
Right.
When Garrett Wilson was in elementary school, Aaron Rodgers was winning MVP. So in a weird way, when you've got a 25-year-old in Justin Jefferson, which is crazy how young he is, you would
not
think...
Not even 25. He's not 25 till June.
You're right. He's 20. I always think of age going into a season. But you're right.
His year 25 year is next year.
Right. If you ever trade for him, he's 25 years old. But you're right that Rodgers would be able to handle it. But I just wonder about touches and targets.
But you got to think, man. So why did it work?
So think about the last 4 years in Tampa. Let's just keep using that example because Chris Godwin and Mike Evans are there. Why did it work? Because they threw the ball 700-plus times.
Right, but are the Jets even going to do that? They got Breece Hall.
I mean, I don't know.
And by the way, that leads
but
to—
But Breece Hall is also a really good wide receiver.
Yeah, you know, he is. Right? He can do it all.
And so diversify yourself, man. Make it hard on opposing teams to know what you're doing and thinking.
The Breece Hall question, though, is interesting, and Kendrick Suffern wants to further that. What's up, Kendrick?
Gentlemen, yeah, I was calling. You were taking my thunder there. I was hoping I'd get on here. I was telling Tommy, yeah, Tiki, as a running back, Breece Hall at the second half of the year started getting a lot of touches in the receptions.
Right.
And so my thought and my question for you as a former running back is, how does that affect your mindset going into a season when, once again, you know, Breece is kind of getting moved over? And honestly, I know Garrett Wilson is a talented wide receiver. He's a top 10 wide receiver in the game, don't get me wrong. But he also won Rookie of the Year, in my opinion. I'm a big Breece guy and a running guy because Breece got hurt.
That's right.
And so for me, as a Jet fan, I look at it, and you're talking about Tampa, Mike Evans or Calvin Ridley, even Gabe Davis, someone who can stretch the field is more of what I want rather than a Justin Jefferson. Ideally, I want him. But he kind of plays the same way as Garrett Wilson, where Breece Hall would keep the defense honest at the line.
Yeah.
You get a guy who can stretch the field. And then it opens up the middle of the field for a guy like Garrett Wilson. So I was just wondering, as a running back who caught the ball out of the backfield, how that would...
Well, so Breece is interesting because... So I caught the ball out of the backfield mostly on checkdowns. I mean, it was, all right, we're going to run. So let's say I had 60 touches. Let's just average it, or 70 receptions over the year. I think half of them were screens. And the other half were just check down over the ball. If everything goes to crap elsewhere, I'm just going to throw it to you. And you're going to make a guy miss. And so maybe I had 30 design passes that would go to me. But they weren't like what running backs do now, where they actually are playing wide receiver positions. Breece Hall can do that, just like Bijan Robinson in Atlanta can do that. He can line up as a slot. He can line up as the X. You can run him on bubble screens. You can run him on angle routes. You can do all these different things with Breece. But to me, like, touches matter more than he had 30 carries this game and only two receptions. Touches matter. And
all running backs think that way?
I think running backs are starting to be conditioned to think that way,
right?
Because they see the most successful one in the game right now is Christian McCaffrey,
right?
And Christian McCaffrey, yeah, he rushed for whatever it was, 1,200 yards, 1,300 yards this year, but he doesn't care. He just wants the ball.
Yeah, I would hope that's what Breece Hall would be thinking too.
Give me the chance to be a playmaker. And with the way that defenses have, especially in that front four, have started dominating the run games, because they all run the same crap up front. It's all, you know, inside zone. Maybe sometimes you're pulling a little bit, but it's just like there's not under center running. There's not power running. You don't see all these things that used to be in the bygone era. So it's harder for running backs to rush for 1,600 yards. He's not going to do it.
Doesn't happen.
It just doesn't happen. So give me touches. And I think Breece Hall would thrive in that kind of situation.
Let's see if you can thrive right now, because it's combine week, so it's time to whip out another edition of How much does Tiki know about Tiki?
How much does Tiki know about Tiki?
Bench press. How'd you do in the bench press? I got the exact details right in front of me right now.
225.
Holy crap.
I think I did 12 times.
Well, you nailed 225 15 times.
How much does Tiki know about Tiki?
Is 225 like a basic number? Is that a number that most guys do?
That's what you do.
Oh, okay. That's not impressive that you got that.
It's only 225.
So it's 225, and how many times you could do 225?
Yes, it's the most useless thing in the world.
How much could you do right now if you went to the gym? I put 225 on a rack. I'm not spotting you because I'm weak.
Probably do 12 or 13 now.
Wow.
Wow. Right.
That's sick, dude.
So timeout. When I came into the league, I was not strong. I was just fast.
Right.
Like I was strong for a normal man, but for a football, relative to what I was when I started working out with Joe Carini and really got good and strong and like thick, coming out of high college 215 times. But in my like year 30 season, I probably could do 225 22 times.
Wow.
I mean, I was huge.
Damn. How many times I could do 225?
Not once.
Not one time. I don't think I could do 125.
You might not be able to squat 225.
I couldn't squat my own body weight. If I tried to do squats right now, I'd be in pain after two of them. Watch. I'll show you. Describe this to the audience.
Yeah. Don't rip your pants. You got to take a flight.
What I got to do with my hands?
No. I said don't rip your pants.
Oh, don't rip my pants.
Why don't you do a jump squat?
Sore after one.
I know.
I used to do squats back in the day. I was in like shape and I was going to the gym, I could definitely do like 10, but with 10 pounds on me.
I love squatting.
10 pounds?
Yeah, I would do 10 pounds. Yeah. Any more than that, I'm going to break my back.
Do you know how much the bar weighs?
That's what I'm talking about.
The bar weighs 45 pounds.
Uh-huh. The bar weighs 45 pounds?
Yes. So when you're putting up a bench press or a squat, the first 45 pounds are only on the bar.
Yep.
Wait, so when I was, but I put a plate on the bar. So I actually did 55 pounds.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Like, damn, look at me.
Or 60 if you put two 10s on.
Wow.
65
pounds. Yeah, I did two 10s, so right. I did 65 pounds.
That's right.
I always thought I just did like 10.
So when you bench press 225, you're actually only moving. Of weights, you're only moving like 180.
What do you mean by? Oh, because you're including the bar.
Yeah.
That's how little I know. Yeah. All right, one more question for how much does Tiki know about Tiki? Your vertical leap.
Vertical. How much does Tiki know about Tiki?
I'm going to say 36 and a half.
36, that's a good guess. 35 and a half.
Oh, it's close.
35 and a half.
At least I knew it was a half.
No, you were close. Hey, within is that a good vertical leap, by the way?
It's good enough.
I got drafted
in the first
too.
Round.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do with short. It's like it's just relative to your explosion.
If Sean did a vertical.
If you're tall, it doesn't matter.
Well, wouldn't it be higher? Or are you saying they lower that no matter what?
No, it's based on where you reach. So you get up. If
right.
You can see me. And nobody can see me, but I'm standing up.
I'll describe it.
Reach.
Standing up, his arms are in the air.
So you stand up and you reach.
He's reaching up.
And that's the base.
Right.
And then from there, you jump.
Right. So in theory, if you're taller, wouldn't you get a higher grade?
No. No. It's based on your relative
height. Okay. So they adjust it depending on if you're taller
or
not. Okay.
Yes.
What do you think Sean's vertical leap would be if he tried it right now? If you got to 35.5 inches.
I think he would be under 20.
Under 20?
No doubt. I got short arms and no ups.
But it doesn't matter about your arms.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, but that's part of your reach.
There's a movie named
but
about
think
us.
Think about it. Like when you jump and reach.
Right.
So they baseline you with your arms up.
Okay, so if I'm just standing there, that's what they account for, right?
Yeah, it's
my
not
short
your
arms.
Head. It's not your head.
Okay.
They're accounting where your arms reach.
Okay.
Right.
So and my little dinosaur arms don't matter.
That doesn't matter. So when you jump. Just imagine
all
jumping.
Right, I'm going to jump.
Now, right? I want to see you jump.
Imagine right. jumping without, right. like, using
Sean
your arms.
Put his hands up in the air.
But you'd
he's
have, you have to
sky.
Use your arms to jump.
Let's see how
right,
he does
so
it.
Jump.
He
right.
jumped and he banged his head on something.
That's amazing.
What'd you bang your head on? I'll be jumped right. again.
No, I think it's actually like 12.
Yeah, you're barely getting off the ground. I think
like
I'd 12. Beat you in a vertical leap.
I'm not a jumper. I'm not a leaper. I'm not a fighter.
I think I found the one sports activity yes. I'd beat him in very cleanly. I think I would have a better vertical leap than you.
I'm a good stationary athlete.
Hey,
okay.
I underestimated myself on bench press and on vertical
You underestimated
leap.
Yourself and you overestimated him.
I did.
That's one thing. Let's go to Jim in West Harrison. How you doing, Jim?
Good. How you guys doing?
We're good.
Good, man.
This is part two. How dumb are WFAN hosts?
Okay.
How dumb are WFAN hosts, Jim?
The first person doesn't know that Frank Sinatra is a local New York boy.
Yeah, that was bad. I agree. I thought Sean should have been suspended.
I'm a
for that
fat
comment.
Moron. He's right. more known for being in Vegas.
Right.
Okay.
No, he's not.
No, he's not.
Have you ever been to Hoboken?
Come on. No, actually.
It's across the river. You can walk there.
All right,
there.
Jim, here's his excuse. He's never been to Hoboken.
Yeah, by the way, you can't walk there. I'd have to walk on water.
No, you have to walk on the bridge.
Yeah, you could go over the bridge.
You could walk over the bridge.
Right. What bridge?
That's it.
The George Washington
part
bridge.
Two. The second person we have to acknowledge is a guy who criticizes general managers, coaches, players every single day on the radio.
Yeah. Who's that?
That same person writes a book about the Mets.
Yeah.
It doesn't acknowledge his partner that does a podcast about said Mets.
Pete Hoffman.
So he criticizes everything about everybody, but when it comes time to do something right, He gets it wrong.
I got one.
How do you everybody every day and get this thing so wrong?
Well, but guess what? Guess what I'm going to do, Jim? I'm going to admit maybe I got it wrong. Maybe I should have thanked Pete Hoffman in my brand new book, My Mets Bible, on sale April 2nd. You can pre-order right now on Amazon. I forgot. When I was writing all the acknowledgments and I was checking the boxes. By the way, Tierney said I shouldn't have even thanked you, Tiki.
Why?
He's like, you barely know the guy.
But I'm going to help you sell books.
That's right. I forgot to mention that. You know, help what? Me sell books.
BT just realized he no longer has Tiki to help him sell a book.
But I admit, I should have acknowledged Pete Hoffman. I thought about
yes.
it. Does the Rico with me, endless hours, like last night, 9 o'clock at night. He's away from his family, and we're breaking down Trace Thompson's quick start in spring training. It's a bad job out of me. But where I disagree is that at least I'm taking ownership of it.
Hmm.
I'm admitting I screwed up.
Yes.
What can I do?
So will
so
you
when
now...
you go your book signing, here's what you do.
Yeah.
You write, Bob, I hope you enjoy the book. Evan Roberts. Thanks, Pete Hoffman.
So write thanks, Pete Hoffman, on every autograph I sign?
Yes.
That seems fair.
But really, that's better than an acknowledgement.
It is.
That is better
it's
than
like
an
a real-time acknowledgement.
You're right.
What?
Will you now admit you lied in your book?
So, lied about what?
Lied in your book.
I have in my hand My Mets,
oh,
My Mets Bible.
This. Let me read
I
this. What
do
you,
okay.
Let's, where are we going? Where are we
April
going?
2nd. You can pre-order now on Amazon.
What page am I going to
so,
say this
no,
lie?
Right off the bat. Introduction. So that's page
introduction.
One.
Introduction.
Okay. By the way, are we supposed to bring these in every day? Because mine's already home.
Yes.
Yes.
There's endless material here.
Okay. Go ahead.
So first paragraph, middle of the paragraph, I quote, this is Evan. At age 9, I played with wrestling figures. I don't anymore. Care to admit that that's a lie?
Wow.
I'm reading this last night. I'm like, this son of a bitch lied immediately. Immediately. This isn't even the book. This is the introduction. This is the forward. This is not his first game. Oh, by the way, the first game Evan ever scored, they lost.
That's an amazing catch, Lukey. Amazing.
I want to address that.
Okay.
He is right. I have three sentences into my book. I write, quote, at age 9, I played with wrestling figures. I don't anymore. I want to acknowledge that. At the time of this writing, I did not play with wrestling figures. Mm. My two sons are now into wrestling figures, and so I play wrestling figures with them.
Evan, when
that
you
is very different than me playing with wrestling figures
still,
like I was 9.
Are you or are you not playing with wrestling figures?
I am playing with wrestling figures with
so
my
therefore
sons.
It is a lie.
Yeah, and you.
Come on.
Evan, and you could foreshadow thanking Tiki and myself in your acknowledgments, as you've said, but you could not foreshadow that maybe your son of 7 who love wrestling would start playing wrestling figures soon?
Well, okay. First of all, can I read the context of what I wrote?
Yes. Please.
So it makes sense. Okay. All right. Despite decades upon decades going by and plenty of life changes, I remain completely dedicated to scoring just about every Mets game played. At age 9, I played with wrestling figures. I don't anymore. At age 14, I collected baseball cards. I don't anymore.
I'm a loser.
At age 22, I would go to karaoke bars and sing my lungs out. I don't anymore.
I'm a loser.
But through all of those hobbies, one has remained constant. My absolute love affair with sitting down and scoring a baseball game.
I'm a loser.
So in the context yes. of what I'm writing.
Right, it makes sense.
It makes sense.
It's for furthering of the story, or the importance of scoring.
I mean, because the way I'm playing. And thank you. And the way I'm playing with wrestling figures right now is very different than the way I did it when I was 9. When I was doing it when I was 9, it was me. You know, making believe this is real. Now I'm doing it with a 7-year-old and a 3-year-old. So if that's the best you got, Lugie, keep reading, bro.
I got through about a page or two, and that's all I got. I have a lot of reading to do. This is an endless source of material, this book.
Right? Yeah, sure.
We'll get to the Wilmer Flores game maybe next week, because I read that chapter already. Embarrassing.
The Wilmer Flores game's at the end of the book.
Embarrassing. I was skipping through.
Oh, you're skipping through?
Yeah.
I do make the book very easy to skip through. It's got a table of contents where you can see each game. So if you're like, I don't really care about 1997,
yes.
you could jump to the 2020s or the 2010s. Like the Johan no-hitter, page 264. You can just go right to it.
I also thought it was funny and very fitting that the first game that Evan scored in his life, the Mets lost.
That is true.
So that was foreshadowing.
That is true.
The odds say that was likely.
That was likely. It was 1992. Yes. You know how many times they lost that year, Teak? A lot.
A lot.
Put it that way. Let's go to Billy in Brooklyn. You're on the fan, Billy. What's up?
Hey, what's up, boys?
Yo.
Hey, what's going on? Listen, first of all, I want to tell you guys I have tremendous respect for both of you.
Thank you, man.
I have no you know, place to even talk about football with Tiki Barber in the room. But
I feel the same way sometimes.
Absolutely you do.
But,
you enjoy
right,
the game, let's talk.
There's always a but. The but is I'm a diehard loser times infinity Jeff fan.
Okay.
And I totally disagree with the Jefferson thing.
You don't want totally. Justin Jefferson. He's not good enough for you.
No.
He's terrible. We can win without him. I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
We need a number two. We have a talent in Garrett. Why are we going to disturb it and add to this circus that of the New York Jets?
What, you think Justin Jefferson would add to the circus? I actually think he is a calm, like measured, like just a mature star in this league. And he's young.
Tiki, with all due respect, it has nothing to do with him as a person and who he is.
Right.
It's New York, and we are going to, and the Jets fans, we will ruin it. We will ruin it.
We'll so ruin this it. Is you being defeatist.
We will destroy.
Oh, stop. No.
The circus, when he said circus, can I tell you how I would interpret that?
Go ahead.
The hype.
You're talking about the hype.
Yeah, that's how right. I would. The expectation circus that comes with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, a true number one in Garrett Wilson, mm-hmm. and now an acquired number one in Justin Jefferson. And look, here's the truth about the quote-unquote circus. The New York Jets will forever be a circus. And sometimes you could be a good circus, and sometimes you could be a bad circus. Sometimes you take your family to the circus and you're like, that was one hell of a show. And sometimes the elephant goes to the bathroom, never moves, and the circus is terrible. The New York media, we as Jet fans, the history of this franchise, that's all the circus. So it's not about I'm afraid of the circus. It's going to be a circus no matter what.
Yeah.
To me, it's the cost. You know, Calvin Ridley, after serving his suspension, came back last year and had a really good year for Jacksonville.
Did.
And I look at a guy like that and I say, okay, now I'm going to send him to his third franchise, coming to the Jets, but I bring him in as a number two. He's still young, not as young as Jefferson, but young. He's not going to take the political capital to get him, the mm-hmm. draft capital to get him, and he's not going to cost as much contract-wise.
Well, is he free or is he under?
He's a free agent.
Yeah.
I mean, he's available. That's why I bring him up. That, to me, while not as sexy, is a damn good fit.
It is. It is. But when you think about the teams that have found like success with multiple elite wide receivers, forget the tight ends, because I mean, they're basically wide receivers too, but just forget them for now. It's teams like the 49ers with Ayuk and Deebo Samuel. And they found a way, despite also having to give touches to Christian McCaffrey. Sound familiar? Breece Hall? Right? They found a way to keep both those guys happy and very productive. And so it's doable. I think the Cincinnati Bengals are another one. The Rams mm-hmm. surprised everybody. We thought that the Rams were going to win five games this year. But with Puka Nacua, his rise, and with Cooper Kupp there, they can do it with two number ones. Miami with Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill. Right? So it's doable with two like alpha A1 stars. You just have to be able to manage their expectations. And again, coach and quarterback have to be right. And I think coach.
No.
I hope coach. And I know quarterback will be right for the Jets.
Yeah, I feel like we got half that right. Right. We'll get to plenty more of your football calls. The show rolls on 877-337-6666. But there is, I'll use the phrase growing steam, because that was the quote to describe a potential Justin Jefferson trade from a local Minneapolis writer. There is a growing steam towards something happening in our city that will break up families, that will cause rifts between friends, and would actually change the complexion of our radio station to its core. And yet Tiki Barber will celebrate it if it actually happens. I'll describe what can cause that kind of angst between Met fans and Yankee fans, and it's damn realistic.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.